Hello and welcome to a Webhack Wednesday. I'm Martin Beamy.
And I'm Martin Kern.
And today we are going to be talking about speech.
Good.
Yes.
Yes. Is that because we've got new microphones?
Well, no. Although these are
beautiful microphones.
They are beautiful. They're very shiny.
But not because of that. I've just been doing loads of stuff with speech recently.
You've been talking a lot.
I mean,
what's new about that?
Technically, I've been doing quite a bit about speech. Yeah. One of the things that we do a lot of is we do like these envisioning POC, proof of concept hacks.
Yeah.
And
we love a hack.
With these sort of engagements that we do, they're like a week long.
Yeah.
We bring a partner into the company and we work on a problem that they've got. It's not really a hack, but it's kind of the idea is that...
Proof of concepts. I think of them as like proof of concepts exercises. So we spend a few days with a company, try to figure out what they're...
Yeah.
Help accelerate them, try to figure out what they're working on and get them a few steps forward in that process.
Really. Yeah. And it's these kind of hacks are... this particular one, which I worked on last week, I think, was 4 days. And they come in with this really common problem, which is it becoming more and more common, which is we want to do speech to a human-computer interaction with speech. So I want to speak to a computer and make it do something.
Yeah.
And there's lots of ways that we can achieve that. But we're focusing the idea of building a bot.
Yeah.
And they wanted the idea that someone was in their car speaking to their phone, their iPhone, and that the iPhone would be able to take directions from them about their application.
Okay, yeah.
So if you look at... So this is Beezy. They are a company which bring together loads of different Microsoft products. It's basically like a portal. I don't know the best way to describe it. I'm not doing a very good job, but it's like imagine it as like a portal on top of SharePoint, but it integrates like Office 365 and loads of different things. And it basically stores all the information or helps companies find information inside of their document store. People can find documents or ask questions about the company. And all of the information inside of a company, Beezy are trying to surface it to the user. And they have lots of different ways of surfacing it. And one of the ways they thought would be really interesting would be through their mobile application, through a bot.
Okay.
So they wanted to build a bot that you could speak to, and then that bot would be able to surface these
documents. That's interesting. So it's a bot via a mobile app,
not via
Facebook or Skype or something like that.
They actually are interested in maybe putting it in something like Skype for Business, because all of their customers have Skype for Business because of the way they sell their product.
Yeah.
But the... immediately, they wanted to integrate it into an iPhone application, which they build using Xamarin.
Right.
Cool. So that was the challenge, is that we want a bot you can speak to, and that's where the sort of challenge comes. So if you look at the slide that they gave us was this, and they had this whole journey, but this is the one which kind of made me think, okay, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this.
Okay.
Because it says, John is on his way to a sales meeting. He pulls out the Beezy app to talk to the corporate bot.
Okay.
And he says... This is one of the scenarios. There was about 8 that we worked on, but this is one which isolates this problem, which is, have we worked with partner X in France? Or, you know, have we worked with the partner Microsoft in France before?
Yeah.
Now, they have the information to answer that question somewhere in their system, and it was surfacing that information. But if you think about speech to text, when it comes to have we worked with, speech to text is going to work probably all right there, partner... Microsoft. It'll probably work with Microsoft because Microsoft's a big enough brand to be included with
all the
speech recognition. Yeah. The company I used to work with, Misco, wouldn't be a big brand and it wouldn't be included in these things. So will speech-to-text really work in this scenario?
How it differentiate between the company names and just general words?
Yeah. How do we train almost our speech system to understand these sort of domain-specific language?
Yeah.
And there was lots more examples of this in the application. This is just one of the scenarios, but this is the first place that I thought. So the idea being, they say, have we worked with partner in France? It says, let me find out. Yes, we found this. Partner X is helping us with client X. And then it's got some documents which it found in the system relating to that. So it's surfacing all this company-wide information.
Okay.
So one of the other sort of questions that we want to ask is, does anybody in our company have skills in X?
Yeah.
And that skill... is tenant specific. So each of these Beezy implementations are tenant specific. So they might be selling it to company X and company Y, and company X has different skill sets than company Y. So the bot's going to have to know different skill sets for different tenants.
Sure.
So again, it's adding to this sort of level of complexity. So I've fictitiously created some anonymous code to help with this, and fictitiously created some partners and some skills to explain this problem. So these are the partner names that I want to be able to, these scenarios to work with. Microsoft, who I work with now. Misco, who I used to work with.
Yeah.
ITA, my first employer. Sartre, who I built...
It's like a little trip down memory lane for you, this, isn't
Sartre,
it?
Sartre, who I built a coefficient of friction machine in VP6 for. National Rail Inquiries, that I worked with, my first client, which I worked with at Microsoft. MySpace, which is the job that I never took. It was my choice between Microsoft and MySpace. That worked out probably quite well. I chose Microsoft. Corby Borough Council, the same place that I'm from, and I've done some business with them in the time. Holland and Barrett, where I used to be a sales assistant in
really?
The store. Yeah, I am a trained. I'm trained in homeopathy and in product sales on sort of vitamins and minerals.
I can't imagine
you as
a salesman.
I was really good. I knew all the Holland and Barrett. I won't tell you their sales techniques, but I had them mastered.
Okay,
I was
great.
I had the badge like. The equivalent
Martin,
of
happy to help.
The equivalent of McDonald's five stars. Yeah. I had all that. They actually make you sit exams. Genuinely.
Really?
Yeah. It was quite tough. And Argos, which was my first job when I was 16, working in the warehouse. And then ultimately, I got to sell the magazine as people walked into the store. That was my job.
That's your job.
Yeah, because I was getting more sign-ups.
You moved on from that as well,
anyone,
isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd go back to that. Yeah. And then skills. The skills that someone might have. I've put skills that I have, which is C#. Visual Basic.
That's brilliant. I've immediately gone to the bottom of the list and seen chess, homeopathy, and juggling.
That is actually generally. I taught my three. It was teaching my 3-year-old son how to play chess the other day because I've got this thing that I want to be able to play chess. I'm massively into chess.
I feel for you. I was recently teaching my girlfriend how to play chess. It was quite an interesting experience.
I think it's much easier when they're younger.
How can you get to like our age and not know how to play chess?
There's loads of people. It's quite an easy thing. Like I got all the way through to uni and didn't know how to play backgammon. Do you know how to play backgammon?
No.
It's just not
chess
culturally.
Is different there. I mean, I've also been teaching my son who's just turned 7, and they're both at about the same level. So I'm going to try and have them have a chess game with each other, and I'll just coach them both as they're going through. That could be quite an interesting.
It's like Go as well. Like that's a thing. I've never played Go very much. I've played on a computer once or twice, but not really got it.
Right.
So
I've never even heard of it.
Go.
Yeah.
That's a different story. Homeopathy, which is fake news, fake medicine. I think I don't know. Don't want to offend anyone.
I thought you were a 5-star on this stuff.
I am. I can sell it to you. I know exactly what it does. If you've got a bruise, I'm going to serve you some arnica. I know how it works. But it's but it doesn't work. Never mind. And then juggling, which is juggling. That's one of the skills I have. So there's some partners and some skills that I can use to create my little world. So Bing speech.
Yeah.
Now Bing speech is not going to do particularly well understanding some of those names that I've put in there. Partners
so this,
like
is, this is the kind of standard service, isn't it, that's available?
And it's as good as any. There,
you
there's
can't
others.
Really train it in any way. It's just going to take a piece of audio and give you some text.
It's going to do speech to text. Bing speech is not going to do a great job of understanding all of those skills and all those things. Some of them it will and some of them it won't.
Yep.
And it won't necessarily know any context between how people are likely to speak to my application. It's generalized speech to text, which is fine if you're trying to speech to text generalized conversation.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to do something in an app where you know what people are going to ask it, wouldn't it be better if we had some way of training it a little bit more deeply?
It would be better.
Well, I'll show you how Bing Speech will work with this.
Okay.
So this is going into Azure. I go and get a speech key from Azure. So I've just set it up at a speech cognitive service inside of Azure. And then I've got Postman here. And I'm just going to post. Firstly, I get a token from api.cognitive Microsoft thing.
Okay.
You don't really need to worry about this. It's just how to use speech API. And then I can go over to the speech API URL. And I'm going to put the token in my authorization in my header. Excuse me. Actually, this is taking too long, so I'm just going to go and... No, it's definitely too long. Space. Paste. And then I'm going to post a WAV file.
Okay.
So this is a WAV file. I'm going to send it over to the thing, and the response comes back. It should say, have we worked with the Pond iMISCO before? Which should be, have we worked with a partner MISCO before?
Right, I see.
That's the thing that I want this speech to text to work with. Have we worked with the partner MISCO before? And if I take the skills WAV file and put it up to this generalized speech engine, I'm going to get back, does anyone in the company have skills with ASP.NET? It's actually
done. So it's figured that bit out.
Well, it's ASP.NET, but it's not quite right, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
It understood that.
You can infer what it means from that, but it's still not quite right.
You would have to do some cleaning up of this text now to get it to work and command. And that's generally, you know, when you're doing text-to-speech, this is the bread and butter of what you're doing. But there is a new service that we have called Custom Speech, or CRIS, C-R-I-S, it's sometimes referred to, Custom Speech Recognition. And it's aimed at solving this kind of problem. So this is what this custom speech service is all about. And the general idea is I have instead of having a generalized speech detection system, I have a custom speech thing, something which I've trained. And you're training it with two things. One is language data,
right?
Like strings, utterances, effectively. Yeah. So things that people will say to your application.
Okay.
And then the other thing you can train it with is an acoustic model.
Right, okay.
And an acoustic model is you upload a load of WAV files and a load of transcriptions of those WAV files. And it then fiddles with the knobs to figure out which acoustic model would work best to identify those things to get the most accurate results.
Okay. So so that would be useful in scenarios like maybe airports, hospitals, where you've got specific background noise.
In this particular example, it would have been interesting if I'd have recorded some of these things in a car. I think, because that's a specific acoustic environment.
Yeah,
we didn't do that in the time because we didn't have time.
Right.
So all I trained with the Beezy example was we did it just purely for the language data. And the way that you train it is you basically have a big, long notepad or text file of all the lines of things that people could ask to your application.
Right.
All the different combinations of words in there. The first thing you're going to need to do, though, is once you've created it, just logged into Custom Speech Rec Service, is set up a... And honestly, at the moment, this UI is very preview. It's very basic.
So very preview.
You have to go in and do stuff which is ridiculous, actually, I think. Like, you have to go and cut and paste subscription IDs from the Azure portal into this. That won't be the case, I'm sure, in the final product.
Okay.
But at the moment, you have to go and get a key from, you have to create a CRIS or a custom speech service inside of Azure, which is one thing. It takes a little bit of time to spin up. Once you've created that, you'll get a key, and then you add that key to your subscription. So I'm going to import some language data into our application.
Okay.
And what I will need to do, it says no active subscriptions being found. So I need to add a subscription. So this is a bit fiddly at the moment. We go over to the Azure dashboard where I've got a speech service. This will do. And over in the keys, I'll just grab this key.
Okay.
Or maybe this one. Because I can regenerate.
This is like the same as you do any cognitive service, really, I guess. Just same idea as the subscription keys.
It is. But it's just that you have to do this little bit extra inside of this. It's a bit odd. So you just give this a name to make it unique, and then just add it to the system, and then hopefully that one's actually ticked. And so I'm just going to delete that one, which is still pending.
Okay.
So now I've got this Beebs subscription set up in my application. I can now start to import some data. So language data, import new, and I'm going to go and type in just anything really, basic stuff, and it can have any description, and then import my language model. And I'm just going to upload this output.txt file. Talk a little bit how that's actually created later.
Okay.
And then what will happen is it'll say it's waiting, blah, blah, blah. Processing, and I've actually, and we're going to edit up here. Takes a lot longer than that, actually. It shows that there's 40 utterances or 40 things that it processed. So then when I have the data uploaded, I can create a language model.
Okay.
And a language model, again, you're just giving it names to just identify it. These aren't really that important. Beebs will do one or two. And then any old description. You have to have a base language model, so it can either be conversational or speech and dictation. And then you choose the subscription you want to create it on, you create it. The difference between the general one and then the dictation one is that the conversation one's better if you're trying to listen to generalized conversation. The other one's better for apps.
Okay.
Or at least that thing I found. Then what we can do is we can create a deployment. So once that's that model's been created, we then can call a new deployment. And yikes, let's deploy it. And then I'll choose the base model, and then my little specific language model, the Beebs one, shows up. And then I create this deployment now. And what a deployment is it's going to generate three HTTP endpoints, just like the Bing Speech SDK.
Okay.
So the Bing Speech SDK has three endpoints that you can call, one for short dictation, one for long dictation, and one for basic HTTP posts.
Yeah.
So what I should be able to do now in my application is, if I want to, I can deploy it. Now, the thing is, I can just upload text, like generalized text, lists of common words, all those skills in my application. That would work absolutely fine, and that would be 100% okay to do that.
Yeah.
But I thought this is actually interesting because Beezy have a Lewis endpoint. We talked about Lewis last week.
Right. Yeah.
And Lewis has all these utterances and has phrase lists in there with all the skills and partners in there. Is there somewhere I could generate it from the Lewis to generate a piece of output?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did.
Okay, cool.
And I don't know if this is great advice or not, but it worked. Right. So, by the way, this is the deployment information you get, by the way. You get a subscription Cree, HTTP endpoint, a WebSocket endpoint for short phrase dictation, and a long dictation mode one as well. So language understanding service, Lewis, we looked at it before. I'm going to go into my apps, and there's a Beezy application in here.
Okay.
And inside of the Beezy application, we have, close that down, and this isn't actually Beezy's Lewis implementation, it's my cut-down
version of it,
where I've just added two intents, find partner and find skill, and I've got two utterances in there, have we worked with partner, blah, 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 in France, and have we worked with Misco before or the partner before, and I've got find skill, which is there someone in the team that has skills in, is there anyone in the company that has skills in? So just two utterances that I've built there. It's not going to be a very good Lewis model, but it works for this purpose.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I download that JSON file. And the cool thing is that JSON file, or you're exporting the application as JSON, it has all of that stuff in there.
Yeah.
Has all of those utterances stored in that JSON file. So what I thought, well, what I could do is write a little C-sharp application, which basically loops through that JSON and extracts all the utterances and also joins them together with what I've got in these things, these lists of partners and lists of skills. So you go, there's the utterances, the France. By the way, I've got these, they show up as things called model features, but these are the phrase lists that are in Cognitive Services. So if I go back to the application and just look at the phrase lists inside of features, I've got two phrase lists, which contains all the partners and one which contains all the skills. So if I go over to Visual Studio, I've got this little application, and inside of here, it just reads this JSON file. I've just stored it. And rather than go through this, I've got this on my GitHub.
Okay.
The only thing which is slightly clever about this, which I'll just show quickly, is the way that I pass that JSON object. I like to work with a solid C-sharp object rather than passing JSON or using JSON soft really to just like navigate the JSON object. Yeah. So what I did is I opened up the JSON file inside of Visual Studio Code. And this is a trick that I use all the time, but no one seems to ever know that it exists. If you copy any XML or JSON and then go into Visual Studio, you can, I'll just remove the current class which is in there. Click that, blah, blah, blah. I think that's enough. I think I've moved one too many curly braces. Mm-hmm. That one back in, and then what you can do is if you go to the edit menu, edit, paste as classes. So if you've got JSON in memory and you paste JSON as classes, it generates a class, C-sharp class, from your JSON object.
I've always used a website, I can't think what it's called now, to do that same thing, but
and then what I do is just use JSON soft to convert that, what my JSON, which I've downloaded the file, into a solid object.
Yeah.
And then you can just, you have all the access. It's much easier to work with, I find, dealing or navigating the JSON thing. So ultimately what it does is it grabs all of those files, grabs all the skills, all the partners, and it replaces partners in the correct places. And I end up with a little output text file, which contains all of the things that someone could ask me. So if I have a look, I've worked with MISCO before.
Haven't I see. Yeah.
In the sort of context of how we would actually use the language, smart. I don't know if it's smart or not. I've been meaning to ask someone.
It's not super clever in terms of the code, but the idea is smart that you've kind of gone through the phrase list and generated utterances from your phrase list.
Yeah, it seems to work anyway. Yeah. It definitely helped improve the speech recognition quality. Yeah. I don't know if I'd have got the same results if I just uploaded all of the partners and all of them. But when you look at the docs, they seem to suggest that you should upload it in this kind of sentence format. Yeah. So it was a nice, easy way of generating that stuff anyway.
Okay.
So now we've called the Bing API.
Yeah.
So the proof is in the pudding. Let's call the Chris API. Chris. And you call it the same way. You get a token via your subscription ID. Yeah. Once you've got the token, you then call one of the URLs that you got when you deployed Chris.
Okay.
So now if I go into, I get the subscription key, and I'll go into Postman over here. And in Postman, in the subscription key in one of my headers, I'll pass in that. That will give me ultimately my... Obviously, you wouldn't be doing this in Postman in a real application.
No, but it's just fine, you know.
Just to show how it works. And then I'll add that is my bearer authentication token to call this Chris URL. And then I can upload the file. So I'm going to choose the skill WAV file. And I'm going to send that over to the URL. And now, if I look at the response back, does anyone in the company have skills with ASP.NET? And it's actually got it right.
Cool.
That's it's really actually cool. Got ASP.NET right. It knows that that's a skill. And then my partner example, send that over. Have we worked with a partner? Does anyone work with a partner MISCO before? Yeah. So it knows those that it's recognized the name MISCO and it's put it correctly together in a conversation. And those are exactly the same WAV files that I've sent to the server. So in this instance, it's definitely improved the speech recognition of those systems. So that's kind of it. That's how you can use
cool.
Chris, how you can call Chris,
how
you can customize Chris, how you can generate some. If you don't have loads of conversational information, you can generate it from your Lewis models.
And I guess with the scenario of BZ of telephones in a car, that's a very specific acoustic model as well. So
yeah, I think the next stage, we were just playing with this and we got really good results from this. Yeah. So it seemed to work really well. We also built a Xamarin application which had a message. We implemented a bot channel effectively in it, and then a button which they pressed. It saves the WAV file on the iPhone. It uploads the WAV file to the Chris service. The Chris service converts it into text. We then use that text and we pass it onto the bot framework, and you end up with this really cool speech to text scenario.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, and it really works. It really improves the speech recognition. So if you've got an example of an application you want to build and current speech recognition stuff doesn't work because it's just too generalized for you, this is a way of creating a customized speech model which may even be able to be customized for different, not just language data and domain specific language, but also for acoustic models as well. It's very cool.
Very cool.
And that's it for another week of Web Hack Wednesdays. We'll see you next week. Thank you.